these things in our childhood that we're not even probably conscious of can shape us and stop us and prevent us from doing things. When I get a feeling or I get a sense of maybe anxiety or fear, what am I thinking right now? What is the thought? And trying to identify where that trigger is coming from, because as soon as you're aware of something, you have the power to change it.
And it's also not necessarily listening to that inner mean girl that is inside your head, because she can be quite nasty. She is there to keep you safe. She is there to keep you in your comfort zone. Probably pinpoint two pivotal moments in my career where I needed to take a look at my own self-worth and my own capabilities. One of them was not long after I had my daughter. So when I was actually going back into the workforce, trying to juggle the two of motherhood and also trying to juggle a career as well, I really had to sort of dig deep and look at my own capabilities and have that courage to step into a role. There was a lot that I needed to do there from a self-worth perspective. But the second, probably the biggest, most pivotal moment in my career is where...
Christina, welcome to the Career Confidence Podcast today. I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. Behind the scenes, we've had a few really interesting chats about, you know, women in particular, and, you know, putting our hands up for promotions and putting our best foot forward and having the confidence and the courage to go after our dreams and our goals. So I'm really excited today to have this conversation with you. But before we dive in, can you give the audience a little bit of an introduction into who you are and what brought you here today? So, Christina, over to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Georgie. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's been a pleasure to have the initial conversations that we had for the last few weeks, but then also being invited to the podcast. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. So who am I? So Christina's story, I am the face behind Her Career Coach, and I have been in recruitment and talent acquisition for over two decades. So huge amount of time working within the professional space there. So while I'm actually building my business, so her Career Coach, I'm also still working a corporate role as well. So still got my feet on and hands in the tools, so to speak. But yeah, that's a little summary about me.
Well, first off, two decades in recruitment. I high five you there, because it's quite the job. It definitely, look, there's days where I go, what am I doing? And there's other days where I'm extending offers and I'm hearing excitement in candidates' voice and I go, this is what I'm doing it for. It definitely pushes you to grow and develop, and it's constantly, like they say, a roller coaster, which is completely true. But what I would love to dive into now is, you've got a lot of experience in talent acquisition, recruitment, and now you've set up your own business, Her Career Coach, which is fantastic, by the way. I love hearing women going and doing these initiatives and starting their own businesses. It's really exciting. But what got you interested and passionate about women in particular, and what drove you to start your own business, Her Career Coach?
There's, in recruitment, as you know, Georgie, there's only so much that you can actually do. Well, when you're working for an organisation, there's only so much coaching that you can actually provide when you're preparing candidates for interviews, when you're talking about particular roles and opportunities with candidates. And what I found in interviewing and speaking with quite a number of women in particular is their level of confidence, their level of confidence in their capabilities in themselves, they struggled with it. And I would actually overstep the mark a little bit and provide additional coaching than what I needed to, but only because I wanted them to actually prepare themselves accordingly, for them to really set themselves up for success. And seeing that particular piece, I felt that I could actually take my knowledge within the recruitment world and bring it to women, so that I could actually help them, empower them to uncover their hidden potential, empower them to actually discover their capabilities and to really find a role that they love and that they wake up to every day going, yay, I love this. I want to do this all the time. So that's essentially sort of in terms of why I sort of started Her Career Coach, is because I definitely saw the lack of confidence in women, and I just wanted to help them.
I love that. And it's actually quite sad that I guess we're even having this conversation, but it's so true. And I can actually honestly think of a real life example that happened a couple of weeks ago. I was working a role and I spoke to a woman and she almost started to talk herself out of why she shouldn't be put forward for the role.
Yeah,
right. Yep. And I was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And I'm then like coaching her to be like, look, this is why I believe that you deserve to be put forward for this role. This is what I'm going to do. And we talked about it, but then cut to no joke. 20 minutes later, I'm on a call to a male candidate and he said, listen, Georgie, you just get me in front of that client and I'll do the rest. I was just, I sort of smiled to myself and I thought, wow, I wish I'd sort of recorded both these conversations because it is exactly what you just said then, how women do lack confidence, do lack courage. So the fact that you now want to do it, to create this business and to make a difference is so inspiring and incredible. I'd love to know from having the conversations that you've had, is there a pattern? Is there something that you're picking up on that is holding women back? And I guess if there is something there, what advice would you give for women that are wanting to overcome that?
Interesting you say, because women actually have a tendency, so in comparison to a male, as you just mentioned there, so the difference between the psyche of a male versus a female, women tend to apply for a role unless they feel they have absolutely 80 to 90% of the experience required for the position, if not 100%. Whereas a male will only, if they've got 60% of the skills required, they'll apply for the role. And also in terms of being able to speak about themselves and speak about their capabilities, a male will actually spend that time and reel off all the skills that they've got, whereas a female will actually take their time and actually consider what it is that they're good at. And one thing that I've found speaking to a number of women and speaking to a number of my clients too is really around fear holds them back, confidence in their own capabilities. So really is that fear piece. Sorry, and I just lost the question that you said. Sorry, I started going off on one tangent and then went on to another one. Sorry. So it's definitely the fear that holds them back. And the pattern for a female really is, a lot of it does come down to societal conditioning and how we actually are perceived out there in the world. I do find that quite commonly, the women that I speak with, or my clients actually, I shouldn't say the women, it's more my clients. So my clients, there is a constant theme with them is that they come to me because they need that assistance with their mindset. They need that assistance in terms of having that level of self-belief, their level of self-worth to actually be able to portray their skills in a way that is taken seriously, not necessarily considered as an alpha female or arrogant or, you know, however it may be perceived. So it's actually looking at a way that we can actually portray their skills and experience that is true to them, that is not sort of at that point of being too salesy, but it's also to that point of where they're not fearful in terms of actually putting themselves out there. And I think fear definitely holds women back a lot. The lack of self-belief holds them back. The lack of self-worth holds them back. And really they struggle in terms of how to actually navigate their way through that too. And that's one of the many conversations that I have with a number of my clients is, how do we actually get you out of that particular rut where you are starting to believe in yourself a little bit more? But in saying that too, Georgie, a lot of it's not the same for every female. And it's not necessarily, you know, there are a lot of commonalities and common themes across the board, but realistically, everyone has their own story that they bring to the table, and you can't necessarily pinpoint what is one actual thing that holds someone back. There are a range of different things, but fear and putting themselves out there probably would be the first and foremost. But definitely that lack of self-belief and self-worth is another big one.
it is absolutely huge. And I was sort of like, doing these podcasts makes me reflect as well on like my own journey. And I'd really love to dive into you personally, Christina, in a second, because I do think, like, looking at your career span, you've worked for some amazing corporates. You know, you've got very high up in your career, and that comes with a level of self-belief, that comes with a level of confidence. So you are a role model and an inspiration to women who want to continue to grow and upskill in their career. And I would love to know, like, how have you managed to build up your own personal belief? Because I think we can all speak from our own experiences, and that tends to be the best advice that we have when we're sort of coaching others. So how have you personally advanced in your career and got to where you've got to? Because I think that'd be really inspiring for the audience to hear.
It's been a bit of a journey. I can probably pinpoint two pivotal moments in my career where I needed to take a look at my own self-worth and my own capabilities. One of them was not long after I had my daughter. So when I was actually going back into the workforce and finding a role where I could actually continue my skills within that recruitment management space. So trying to juggle the two of motherhood and also trying to juggle a career as well, I really had to sort of dig deep and look at my own capabilities and have that courage to step into a role that was managing a team again. And not only that, but also trying to juggle the family workload too. So it was there was a lot that I needed to do there from a self-worth perspective. But the second, probably the biggest, most pivotal moment in my career is where I actually came at a crossroads in my own career. And that whole thought of where I wanted to climb that corporate ladder just pretty much crumbled in front of me, and it was no more to be. I guess from experiencing my own crossroads, where I actually was in a role that I hated, I just did not want to go to work at all. I ended up getting quite physically ill because of it, because of the stress of not liking the role, but also taking on a role where I thought I was going to be creating a team, creating the strategy, doing everything in terms of that I knew that I was good at in from a recruitment perspective, and then not being able to do any of that whatsoever, not even being able to build my team, and that all being taken away from me and someone else doing it for me, even though I was the manager. It pretty much, I became a shell of myself. And it was really hard to come back from that there. But the moment that I actually did resign from that particular position, it's amazing how, you know, people say that there's this whole cloud, you know, that black cloud, so to speak, just lifts, and the colour pretty much just started coming back into my life as soon as I actually left that role. And even in terms of my own self-worth, it was actually a matter of building that up again. And it really was me connecting with other women who were like-minded in that sense of that I could actually learn from, and that I could actually look at, okay, well, how did they build themselves up again? How do they believe in themselves? What is it about their confidence that I can actually tap into? And there was a lot of work that I actually did on my own inner self that I needed to do in order to get myself back up to where I wanted to be. And one of the best things that I actually did was actually take on a recruitment role where I was back on the tools, and I was back interviewing people, back with that connection, back talking to individuals. And that was probably the best thing that I could have ever done. It reignited my passion for not only what I do as a profession, but also for the industry. But it also was the catalyst for me to then look at my business as that opportunity of how I can actually help other women move away from that, from, I guess, that pit of despair where they're just existing in their life. Because that's certainly how I felt. I was just existing, and it was the hamster wheel just kept going round and round and round and round, to the point where I could actually work my way through that and then create a life and a career that I actually love. And I love doing every single day. And I still love working on the tools. I still love, you know, interacting with people, but I also love the work that I do with my business, because I get to actually spend that one-on-one time with individuals and really pinpoint what is holding them back, really pinpoint some of those things that we can work on together to help them realize their own self-worth, realize their belief, their confidence, etc. So it's definitely born from personal experience, from learning from other individuals. I think one thing I always like to say, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I certainly had a lot of teachers appear in my life when I needed them. I'm not one to believe in coincidences at all. I believe that things do happen for a reason. And for me, I needed to have that role needed to happen for me in order for me to step into what I truly love doing. So that's sort of where it all comes from.
Yeah, honestly, thank you so much for sharing that. I think a lot of people listening to this now would be able to relate to that. And one thing that you said there that comes up quite often from speaking to lots of people is the importance of finding your tribe, the importance of finding people around you to support you and get you through, because we don't have to do it alone. And I think sometimes when I speak to women, they don't want to ask for help because, again, society sort of almost paints a picture of you just get on with it. You don't ask for help. You just get your head down and you just do the work. But actually, we need to learn to reach out and ask help and say, I'm struggling, and learn to be vulnerable, because I can guarantee you, if you say that, the response isn't going to be, oh, well, you know, just, you know, everyone's struggling, you know, man up and get on with it. That the response is going to be, me too. And how can we help each other? And that vulnerability opens up conversations, build trust and relationships. So I think that that's just such important advice, to really find your tribe and to be around people that can support you through these challenging times. And more so as well, when you're in a corporate or in a business, to have women and people around you, allies, to really mentor and support you. I think that's really important and a really big takeaway. But you also said something really interesting as well about your internal versus your external. And I think where a lot of people get their validation from and their confidence from, which is very concerning, is from external factors. So it's, you know, their job titles and how many promotions and what salary they earn and what they dress, you know, in. How important, when you're coaching women especially, is it to dive deeper into those beliefs, those fundamentals? I'd love to dive into that, because I'm such a big believer in internally first, then externally.
Yeah, absolutely. You do look, in terms of, if anyone does want to move on in their career and have that career change, it is really identifying what is holding them back. You really have to look at that internal piece. Internally, and there's a lot that actually happens from that particular perspective, and whether it be childhood trauma, whether it be certain experiences that happened in, whether it be your childhood, whether it be your teenage years, whether it be in your early adult life, later adult life, there are certain things and certain situations and instances that actually contribute to how you do believe in yourself, how you actually position yourself out there in the world, and how you pitch yourself against others as well. I could talk about this for days, because there's not real one solution, but it does definitely come back to your own conditioning, your own beliefs, your own patterns, from not just from the people that you surround yourself with, but also your family. You know, it's that old saying where you're the sum of the five people that you hang around with, you know, and that is so true, because if you're hanging around negative individuals, that negativity is going to brush off on you, and you will actually then become negative. It's sort of like that whole, if whether you believe it or not, the law of attraction, like attracts like. You will naturally gravitate towards all that negative side of things. But if you allow yourself to be surrounded by people who are a little bit more positive, who are willing to lift you up, so to speak, then you will actually continue to feel pretty good about yourself. But there's a lot of work that needs to happen. It's not just one thing that I do, is I don't just go surface level with people. I really do go deep and understand a little bit more what has actually been holding them back. And it really is diving deeper and having some of those tough conversations. And I do say to all my clients, it is a case of where, and one thing I do provide for them is that judgment-free, safe place where they feel comfortable that they can actually share as much information as possible, so we can then pretty much peel back the layers of the onion and work out and get down to the core reason as to why they feel that they've held themselves back in their career and what they can do to then get them to where they want to get to and have a career that they love. So it really is layer by layer, you peel back the onion, so to speak. And it's amazing what you do cover off, because it's not necessarily the thing that they think it is. It's always something else that contributes to it. And a lot of the time it is a situation, like, for example, and this is a fairly common thing. Anyone who at school who was told by a teacher, you're not very good at public speaking, you know, forcing them to actually get up and speak and then turning around and saying, well, you need to improve this, this and this, that's a bit of a subconscious belief that stays with you for life. And then when you actually get to the point of public speaking, you freeze up and you go, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. Don't force me to do it. Because you then regress back to what it felt like when that teacher said to you whatever they said to you. So that's a pretty common thing that does happen. But it's those kind of things that stay in your subconscious mind and tend to come up whenever you come across those particular challenges. And then it's actually, okay, well, how can we break down that? How can we work through that there to give you the tools and strategies to set you up for success? So yes, it does start with that inner work. That inner work is crucial, because the inner work is a direct correlation to how you are externally and how you present yourself as well externally. And look, in terms of, I mean, I'm still doing a lot of the work myself too. And I think that, you know, there are certain things, even though I am a very much a different person to what I was, you know, 4 years ago, let alone 10 years ago, let alone 20 years ago, I'm ever evolving. And if I do have a case of where imposter syndrome creeps in or comparisonitis creeps in, it's at a different level. And it's a matter of, you know, and this is what I share with my clients too, it's a matter of actually acknowledging that it comes up, finding out what the trigger was for you, and then working through that particular piece. You can actually move on it quicker rather than letting it be quite debilitating, because some of those things can be quite debilitating and paralyzing for people. So it's really understanding what those triggers are and how you can actually work through that there. But it all comes down to doing the inner work.
It really does, doesn't
Sorry,
it?
A lot.
But I was just sort of smiling to myself there, because, you know, God, we're all just trauma children, really, aren't we? Just sort of taking it into our adult life and just doing our best. But I remember vividly when I was in school, and maths was not my strong point. And that could have held me back so much, because I was told by numerous teachers that I was bad at maths. And when I was thinking about starting my business, these concerns came up about, yeah, but you're not good at maths and you should be good at numbers to start a business. And I remember having these patterns of thought about, oh no, but you couldn't start a business because numbers are really important. You need to understand numbers. And I actually sat with it and I thought, what am I saying to myself? And I really had to unpack this belief that I had, that in order to start a business, I had to be good with numbers and maths, and really overcome that belief and reshape it to go, well, actually, when you think about business, a lot of it is relationships, it's sales, it's this, it's that. That's what I'm very good at. So I don't just need maths. In fact, I can employ somebody to do that for me, okay, aka an accountant, a bookkeeper, and I can focus on what I'm good at and outsource that. So, you know, I remember even a teacher saying to me, well, you can't walk around with a calculator in your pocket. Well, Mr. Teacher, in fact, I can, because on my phone, I've got a calculator. So yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it, how these things in our childhood that we're not even probably conscious of can shape us and stop us and prevent us from doing things. And I think one thing that I always am constantly working on is just being really present when I get a feeling or I get a sense of maybe anxiety or fear. What am I thinking right now? What is the thought? And trying to identify where that trigger is coming from, because as soon as you're aware of something, you have the power to change it.
So, you do. And definitely. And it's also not necessarily listening to that inner mean girl that is inside your head, because she can be quite nasty.
She can.
And it's really just sort of telling her to go away in, you know, whether it be nice words or not so nice words, but really not necessarily taking notice of what she has to say, because literally she is there to keep you safe. She is there to keep you in your comfort zone. And Georgie, as you probably know, staying in your comfort zone, it's not going to give you what you actually truly desire and what you want in your life. You do need to take that. It's almost like you need to take that risk. You need to just trust in the fact that if you take that leap, you'll be held and you will actually be okay. You're not going to die from it. You'll be okay. And all that fear and all the thoughts and all the comments that you said in your own little head will not necessarily come true. And I actually say that to my daughter a fair bit, because she has this way of letting that little voice inside her head make up little stories. And even with some of my clients too, they say the same thing. And it's like that little voice is just going to keep you safe and keep you in your comfort zone. And what they and I always say this to my daughter too, you know, fear, it stands for false evidence appearing real. And that's one of the things that I learnt quite a number of years ago. And it's so true, because it's that false information that you're actually creating in your head that's not necessarily going to come true. So you either believe it or you don't. And if you do believe it, okay, well, just acknowledge what it is, but move on and don't sit in that fear and in that staleness of a comfort zone, so to speak.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. I wanted to quickly pop in and talk to you about our amazing supporter, CH Talent Solutions. We are an IT and digital recruitment company based in Australia. If you are someone right now looking for a new opportunity or considering a career pivot, please reach out to one of our consultants. Or if you are somebody looking to build your team or build your company or scale, again, please reach out to us if you are looking to find the best tech talent fast. I look forward to connecting with you. Now back to today's episode. Enjoy. Yeah, no, it is such powerful advice, because nothing good comes from staying in your comfort zone. And
it doesn't.
Confidence is a skill that is built through courage. We have to have the courage before we have the confidence. Whereas people go, I'm not confident, so I can't do that. Actually, it's the opposite. You need to, the confidence comes from doing the tough things, right? And then we get the evidence to support that we can do these tough things, and then our confidence grows. So it's almost like we've got it backwards, and we just need to remind ourselves, actually, by putting ourselves in these uncomfortable positions, like you today doing the podcast. And even when I started the podcast, I was really nervous and I thought, am I going to be good at this? But I was like, stuff it, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know,
exactly.
Who cares? You know, I fail, no one listens. Never mind. I gave it a good shot. And now I absolutely love it. And, you know, the podcast is doing really well. So it's just, again, it's just encouraging yourself to push yourself out of your comfort zone. I think that's such powerful advice. But I'd love to go into now, because you've got such an incredible skill set and experience in that corporate space. And, you know, I speak to a lot of women on a weekly basis, and I know you do too, about sort of working in toxic environments, about working in environments to support women. And I'm having a lot of conversations at the moment with clients that want to hire more women. And then when I dig deeper into, okay, so what are your policies? What are you offering? It's like, oh, well, no, we don't have hybrid working. We don't have this, we don't have that. What advice would you give for companies that want to improve their diversity and improve their, let's just say, their gender balance? What are you personally doing at Equity Trustees at the moment? What did you do at CBUS? Like, what are some things that you think are working really well, and how can companies attract more diversity into their teams?
Yeah, but it definitely is within the HR policies and walking the talk. That's what it really is. And I know, you know, for a number of organizations that I've worked at, and I won't necessarily speak to specifically where I am now, but a lot of organizations where I have worked at, is they actually look at, you know, in terms of a female, so whether it be menopause leave, whether it be extending parental leave, whether it is having that flexibility for women who need to do the school drop off and the school pick up, and are quite accommodating from that particular perspective. You know, there could also be domestic violence leave, which we know has actually now every organisation needs to have one. You know, it's been passed through legislation. So a number of things from a policy perspective that you can actually do, but also not just putting it in there. And this is one thing some organisations do, and not necessarily those that I've worked at, but just, you know, when you speak to different people and different individuals within the recruitment industry, there are a lot of organisations who actually draft the policies and put it out there as a ticker box exercise. and they don't actually live and breathe it. And I think the most important thing is that if you actually do live and breathe it and have those executives who will be the champions to actually drive that forward. And I know, you know, I've worked with some executives in my career who are very much those advocates, and, you know, the male advocates of change, and who will actually drive that agenda from a, not just from putting the gender equality or even the gender pay gap as a, you know, part of the conversation, at the forefront of the conversation, but actually looking at how we can, you know, how they can support women more in terms of the workforce. What does it look like from an understanding, you know, simple things like period pain? Some women are, you know, excruciating in terms of experiencing that, and they do actually need to take time off work. And there are some organisations out there who actually do have, who provide leave for that particular, you know, for women who do suffer really bad period pain. And even with menopause too, there are organisations out there. I know the CBUS has a policy on menopause, and I think that was absolutely fantastic that they actually brought that in. You know, there are so many things that you can do as an organisation, but it's, you can do it, but it's about acting on it too. And that's probably the most important aspect, is acting on those particular policies. And really, it has to come from the top. It has to come from your CEO. It has to come from the executive level. And the same conversation needs to just go down the line. Because if it doesn't come from the top, then the other people within the organisation aren't going to believe that you're going to support a female, you're going to actually drive that change. It's difficult to see some, you know, hearing some organisations are all talk and don't actually walk the walk. And it's fantastic to see organisations who do have the policies and who are actually doing what they say they're going to do. I mean, for me, flexibility is huge. I do the school drop-offs, so I have that flexibility where I can come in a little bit later. But I also know that, you know, if I need to stay back later, I will. But it's about, it should be about the output. It should be about the level of work that you do and having some element of trust. We are all adults after all. You know, we're not 16 years old and working at McDonald's anymore and have to actually watch the clock or things like that. We're all adults, and everyone should be treated as such, but it doesn't always happen that way, unfortunately.
It really doesn't, does it? I had actually a conversation with an ex-colleague actually the other day, and they had gone into the office. It was 8:30. Just after 8:30, and the office opened at 8:30, and they were pulled into the boardroom and said, you know, why late? I just thought, I can't even believe these things are still happening. And this person was 40, you know, not 18, or, you know, first job out of uni. Like, this is somebody who is a professional. And like you just said then, Christina, as well, outcome driven. And I do honestly think that people who are more time poor, they will work. Like my business partner, Pam, when her baby's in daycare, oh my God, every minute counts.
Yes.
And she is just on it. She's got her list. She's got her to-do list. She knows what she's doing. And she is a woman on a mission. She is just, you know, nothing stops her, right? So I think we need to reframe a few things. It's not about time in the office. It's not about what being at your desk from 8:30 to 5:30. It's about what are you getting done in these core hours of business. That's what it needs to be, you know, measured against. Productivity isn't just about how many hours you spend sitting in front of a laptop. It's about how much work are you getting done in the time that you are actually working. And I think that's just really important to think about.
It is important. But also, even, you know, just thinking on that, you know, one of my clients was sharing a story, you know, and she worked at a fairly reputable organisation. And when everyone started going back into the office, she said that people would actually hang around until 6-7 o'clock at night to be seen. They weren't doing work, but it was about to be seen that they were actually there. And I understand the perception of being seen, but if you're just sitting around and not doing any work, what benefit is that to anybody? People might see you, but if you're not doing anything, it's not going to help your personal brand and deliver on what you need to. And I found it quite interesting, given that it was a very reputable organisation and that was the expectation across the board. And I just thought, it's just insane that in this day and age, after everything that we've been through in the last number of years, collectively that there's, it's still going back to what it used to be, and there's still some element of not treating people as adults and not looking at that output and those outcome-driven requirement, you know, that not requirements, but the outcome-driven aspects of your role, as opposed to, okay, let's just clock watch and stay here to be seen. Yeah, it's incredible that it still happens. But it will. It'll continue to be like that, unfortunately.
I know. And it does absolutely blow my mind. And it's just sad as well, isn't it? Because people have got things to do. Don't you have families to get home to and partners and things? And it's just, it's so outdated, I think, that, you know, again, we're just like, oh, you're in the office until 6-7 o'clock at night. Therefore, you're the one that's going to get the promotion. It's so toxic. And I just don't think that that is the... It's not the way to go about business. But I'm just always thinking about my audience as well, who's listening to this. And I'm thinking about, there might be a woman listening to this now who is really ambitious. She wants to take the next step in her career. She wants to be seen. She wants to be valued in her organization. But perhaps she does feel a little bit invisible, and she sometimes suffers a little bit with imposter syndrome, maybe doesn't feel good enough. What advice would you have for someone like that listening to this now, who really does want to get ahead in their career? What advice would you have for them to just build that courage, build that self-belief, and take the next step in their career?
First and foremost, it would be actually understanding a little bit more about what you do want, what you desire for you and your career and your life. It's not just your career, it's for you personally, and it's for your life as well, whether it be for your family and how that career fits in with them. Once you actually get that clarity around what it is that you desire for your life, it's actually quite easy to then, well, not quite easy, but it makes life a lot easier to then work out what you need to do in order to position yourself to get ahead on, and to climb that corporate ladder, or to move into another position. So it could be a number of different areas, because you don't necessarily always have to climb the corporate ladder. It could be a sideways step for some, or could be a move into a different industry. But it's really, really taking a stock take and looking at your entire career. And this is one thing that I do with a lot of my clients, is that we actually look at their career. We look at the roles that they've held, what they loved about those roles, what they disliked about those particular roles, and then really pinpoint some of those things that they would love to do in the future. And when they actually look at every single element of their career, but every single element of their life and how that impacts their career, then we're able to actually map out that future focus for them and what they need to work on. So some of them need to work on and want to work on their personal brand and how they actually do that. So is it about elevating at that surface level about how they look, or is it actually looking at how they can present, how they can actually present themselves better from a speaking perspective? Is it that they need to change the way that they approach certain situations? It could be a number of different things. Is it then also, okay, well, I want to change industry sector. Well, what do I need to do to move into that industry sector? Who do I need to talk to? So it's really, once you have that clarity, you're then able to then move into those areas that you need to improve on and to get to where you want to be.
It is honestly the first step, isn't it? Is seeking the clarity, understanding what the skill gaps are, what you need to do to move forward, and then having the courage to go and do it, right? But let's just say then this person's got the clarity. They want to. They're quite happy in the industry that they're in, but they want to maybe. They know they want to earn more money. They know they want more responsibility. They know they want to manage a team. What would be the next step for that female to just continue to get ahead? Like, is it a case of being more visible at work? Is it the case of asking for more work? Is it the case of working on herself and her own beliefs? Like, what would be the next step for her?
It's a combination of different things, but hiring a career coach does help. talking to people. No, you do need to have someone in your corner. You do need to have someone that you can actually bounce ideas off. So you're not actually doing it alone. So you can actually get a view of somebody else. So whether it's a mentor, whether it is a coach, whether it is a trusted person that you can speak to, and actually find out from and get a different perspective on things. So you're not actually doing it alone. I think that's probably the most important thing. It is always hard to do things on your own because then you start second guessing yourself. Then you start that imposter syndrome does tend to creep in because you're going, well, who am I to actually say that I'm going to do this? And then you tend to stop yourself. So having someone that you can actually talk to probably would be the best advice I could give to help you move from when you have that clarity to then move into that next right step for you or next phase in your career. Definitely. Yeah. Mentor, coach, trusted advisor. Yeah. But definitely talk to someone, even if it's a friend, even if it's your mum, even if it's a, you know, whether it be a favourite plant that you love talking to. I was just looking over at my plant. Just talk to somebody. Talking it out loud and voicing how you feel and what it is that you want is definitely going to help you and get things out of your head. Because sometimes when you start actually looking back and thinking things and going a bit too deep with it all, that's when it can start come crashing down.
Yeah. I completely agree. Yeah, I completely agree. And we've all been there where we've wanted something and then we've not known the next step. And actually sometimes, like I said, it's just, again, reaching out for help or, you know, looking at, okay, I want to be where that person is. What steps did they take? You know, success leaves clues. So go and find out what they took. And and it's just find out what is, like, that's where you're going to see the clarity. Okay, so I've done this, now I do this, now I do this. It's like, you know, I had someone on the podcast once talking about, like, you know, a career timeline as well and just like getting clear on that. So clarity is absolute power. And I think that that is my biggest key takeaway from this conversation and just from speaking to career coaches and in general, like, where do you want to be? What does the next 5-10 years look like for you? You know, and map it out and think about, okay, if I want to get there in 10 years time, what does that look like? You know, and what would it be like if I got there in 5 years time? But I think as well, the one thing that I always sort of am working on myself is just to remember that there is also a life outside of work.
Absolutely.
And that's the other key piece as well. And for a long, long time, my whole sense of worth was tied up in my career and this, you know, this success feeling. And I had to feel like I had to hustle and work hard to feel myself, to feel of value, to feel good about myself. So on the flip side of that, what do you do to balance out this drive and this determination that you have with remembering that your career is important, but it's not everything. It doesn't make up everything of who you are.
It's actually knowing what's important to you and setting boundaries. I think that's probably been the two most crucial things that I have actually had to keep in check. And that's because, you know, I have a family. I have my career, but I also have my business as well. And it's about having set allocated times for each. So set allocated times, you know, I have my work days that I work in my corporate job, and I have my days where I work in my business and I work with my clients. And then I have my hours and the time that I spend with my family. And I keep those sacred, but I also keep my own time that I have for myself quite sacred as well. And if things sort of don't go to plan, like, for example, if I wanted to spend some time on my own, but then something came up with the family, then that's okay. Or if, you know, I needed to work back later at work and I wanted to work on something for my business, then that's okay. Not necessarily being harsh on it, but having those set boundaries, but also remembering what's important to me. And I think it all comes down to your own personal values. It also comes down to your belief system, but it is those values and those things that are important to you. But honouring it and not breaking, not beating yourself up if something doesn't work out either.
Yeah, I love that. That's such solid advice. And I think that was the first step for me as well, Christina, was figuring out what are my values. And once I understood them, I then realized, oh, that's why I do what I do. And oh, that's why I'm feeling a bit off, because I'm now compromising that value. And the one of my top values is integrity. I'm very honest. I can't lie. You know, so integrity, when I feel like I'm doing something that doesn't feel right, that I get so anxious and so uneasy about that. So I think that's something that really, and in recruitment, when I was working sort of heavily in agency, you are very heavily KPI'd, and there's a level of, you know, you have to send this amount of CVs, you have to close this amount of candidates. And it ended up compromising again on my values, because I was doing things that I didn't really want to do in order to hit a target, in order to keep a job. So again, going back to, I guess, your career, it's also thinking clarity, values, and what is important for
absolutely.
You, right?
Yeah, it
really
is definitely
to get that right.
Yeah, but also, you know, when you're getting that clarity in terms of what it is that you want for your career, you really do have to look at your life, and you really have to look at your lifestyle, and how you want to live. You know, what is your family situation? What is your friend situation? Do you like to socialize more? So you've got to take that element into consideration, because if you take on a role, for example, you know, even with myself, you know, I took on a role where I ended up working until 8, 9 o'clock at night, and that was ridiculous. And my family life suffered because of that, because I didn't put them first. And I learned a very valuable lesson, and I also didn't put myself first. And when you don't put yourself first, or when you don't put your family first, those things that are important to you, that will suffer. And it did suffer. And then bringing it back to, you really do have to look at everything in alignment. So your life, your career, and, you know, those things that are important to you, it's that fine balance between everything there. And if you've got this fine balance, you can recognize those things that are sort of stopping you from doing it, and you can quickly take action to rectify it. But it's that fine balance between everything.
Do you believe
kind
in what
to yourself
life-
too?
Yeah.
Do I believe in work-life balance?
Yeah. Do you believe in it? It's an interesting one.
It is an interesting one. I think it depends what your meaning of work-life balance is. I know for me, I sometimes don't have that work-life balance, because there are times where I'll put my corporate job first over everything else, whereas other times I'll put my family first over everything else. And then on the days where I actually am working in my business, I put that over everything else. and sometimes if I'm really sort of, you know, moving and I'm really focused, I don't want to move from it. So it's like, yeah, I don't think there is. It really depends on what your values are. But it's a tough one, isn't it? I don't know.
Well, I was reflecting on it the other day, and I think it's almost like work-life integration. I think work and life, they're never going to be two separate things, in my personal opinion, especially not when you run your own business, right? Even when I'm on the beach walking or sitting having a coffee, I'm thinking about, okay, what's that today? Oh, I just had that idea. So it's just embracing it, because as soon as I was like, right, I need to now have balance and I need to switch off at, you know, 8 o'clock. And it actually made me more anxious because I was having these really strong set boundaries. And what I've realized throughout the last sort of 5 years of running CH Solutions is that there's going to be busy periods and there's going to be quieter periods. And in the busy periods, embrace it and just go with it. And yeah, okay, balance might sometimes go out the window, but then there's also going to be a period of a bit more quiet, and embrace that and learn to enjoy that. And there's no sort of like, I don't think there's a week that goes by where I'd say I have everything in perfect balance. And I think trying to aim for that actually throws me more out of balance.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? It sounds weird, doesn't it? But I'm like,
no, it
oh,
doesn't.
God,
I agree with you there.
I get anxious. I'm like, oh, I feel out of balance. It's like, oh God, no, I'm anxious because I'm out of balance. And it just almost has completely the opposite effect. But yeah, work-life integration, I think that's sort of what I aim for, and just know that life is seasonal and things ebb and flow. And that's just life. That's just nothing is just a straight line, right?
Oh,
and
God,
we can't.
No.
Trying to strive for a perfect work-life balance, I think we end up driving ourselves crazy. So I was just interested to get your opinion on that. But look, I honestly have enjoyed this conversation so much, and your honesty, the way you speak, and you speak with such authority and such calmness and such, I can just see, like, I can feel the confidence and the assurance in your voice, and it's really inspiring. So
Thank you, Georgie.
People listening to this that want to find out more about you, what you do, and are at a career crossroads, want to take the next step in their lives and their careers, but don't know where to start, where can they go? Where can I send them to find out more about what you do?
Yeah, so there's a number of places they can go. So they can go to my website, which is www.hercareercoach.com.au, and there's some information there that they can see how we can work together. encourage people to actually book in an initial conversation too, and even just to explore it, because it's a no obligation phone call. And they may decide to work with me, they may decide not to, and that's okay. You know, I'm not for everybody, but I am for people who do want to work with me. The other places you can find me on LinkedIn, so whether it be my personal page or whether it be my company page, or whether it be on Instagram and Facebook, so it's all under Her Career Coach.
We'll make sure we put all of the links below. But Christina, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been a pleasure having you. And thank you to each and every one of you who've tuned in and listened to this. Please go and follow Christina. Please go and check out what she does, because I think we could all benefit from some coaching and some mentoring in our lives. So thank you to all the listeners today. And Christina, thank you to you for being such a fantastic guest.
Thank you, Georgie. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you enjoy these episodes, the number one thing you can do to help us grow and keep spreading our mission and message is to hit the subscribe button. And if you have time, give us a quick rating. Appreciate each and every one of you who tune in every week. And we look forward to bringing you many more episodes this year. Take care.